Hello and welcome once again to Shepherd Staff. I'm Apostle Paul D. Young, and we're coming to you every Friday. That's when we release these, and just bringing you the word and encouragement, help, challenge. I'm here to help you. Now, if you're new to Shepherd Staff, you go, what in the world is Shepherd Staff? Shepherd Staff is designed for pastors and church leaders. Now, anybody can watch, obviously. You are, if you're not a pastor or church leader. That's okay. But I just want you to know up front, this is my focus. My focus is to help pastors. Been in the ministry for over 49 years, and been doing this for a while. And I've learned some things along the way. I've made some mistakes along the way, and sometimes more than not. But the thing is this, I want to help you avoid some things that I had to learn the hard way. I have learned that it's better to learn by being taught than on-the-job training where you just have to muddle your way through it. And I have seen many pastors over the years struggling in certain areas. And oftentimes they don't feel they have someone to go to or somewhere to get help. And that's why I'm here. I want to help you. I want to bless you. And each week we're going to dig into the Word. We're going to draw on my years of ministry experience, the wisdom that God has shown me and taught me, and I believe it's going to help you. Amen. Well, let's dig in what we got for today. I want to follow up on last week's session that I called Tired? A Refreshing is Available. So this is part two of that. And we start out in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all you that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, I have seen so many pastors that begin to get tired in the ministry. And it wasn't so much a physical tired as it was a mental and spiritual tired, to where even though they got a good night's sleep, they still were tired. What is going on here? Well, Jesus says that if we come to him, he will give you rest. Now, in order for giving to work, there must be a giver, but there must also be a receiver. This is not rocket science here. But I'm amazed at how often people miss some of the simple stuff. Jesus said, I will give you rest. Just because Jesus gives us something doesn't mean we have it and we're walking in it. Somebody can give me a birthday gift, all wrapped up, pretty bow on it or whatever. But if I don't receive it and open it, it doesn't do me any good. It can be something really cool, something really expensive. But as long as it sits there in the box, it does me no good. I don't want the rest that Jesus gives to be sitting there in the box, so to speak, doing you no good. So let's look at this a little further. We started last time. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I think I said last week, I've been in the ministry for over 49 years, and I've never needed a sabbatical or a rest. Oh, you know, occasionally we get a vacation in and we go on a cruise or something, but I don't need to take a prolonged period I'm not tired. If I get physically tired, that's because I stayed up late, but I've learned to regulate that and make sure I get the proper amount of rest. But I am not wore out. I am not looking for a way out. I am ready to go today, full bore. Why? Because I have the rest of God. See, we found out last week that the word rest means to become physically refreshed after ceasing activity or work. The focus is on the restorative character rather than just stopping activity. Well, the rest that Jesus gives us is going to be in our spirit man, and it's going to be in our mental arena as well. Take my yoke upon you. The picture is that of a yoke that goes on two oxen or two horses or whatever. And he says, take my yoke upon you. In other words, if we're coming into the yoke of Jesus, he's on one side, we are on the other side. Now, how do we do that? Well, let's go over to Hebrews chapter 3. I was going to go there last time, but we just didn't have time to really dig into this. That's why I wanted to continue it today. In Hebrews chapter 3, and let's see, we're going to start at about 7. It says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice. Today. Now, if you look in King James, there's an interesting thing here. It says the word today is not spelled like we normally spell the word today. We spell T-O-D-A-Y. But in the King James, it is capital T-O space D-A-Y. Now, this is unique. You don't find it anywhere else in the New Testament other than here in Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4. So this is a unique thing. And if you look it up, it's talking about a specific day, and it's talking about this day. And so verse 7 lets us know what today is, today, and why is it so important. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice. We are talking here about God speaking to us and giving us a promise. I have series available on the website. They're all our teaching on the website's free. All the audio series, there's over 160 series, over 1600 messages just on our website, wolife.org. And I encourage you to avail yourself of that material. Listen to it. I believe it will be a blessing to you. But right here, this is talking about when you get a word from God. In Romans chapter 10, it talks about the word of faith. What is that? The word there is rhema, the rhema of faith. And rhema means you getting a word, God speaking a word to your heart, to where you know that you know that you know you heard from God. That is what God said. That is the will of God. It's what his promise to you. So today, it's every time God speaks, it is always now. Because God is always now. Faith is always now. God's a now God. When someone asked what his name was, he said, his name is I am. He's not the I was. He's not the I will be. He's the I am. And even though it's a little hard for us to conceive and to grasp, God lives outside of time. Because the Bible is very clear that God created time. Time is a creation of God. Eternity is where God lives. Eternity means there's no beginning, no end, and that's hard for us to comprehend. But God lives outside of time. So every time he speaks to us, it is today. So when God comes and God gives you a word, at that point, that is called today. Not just today as in this is Thursday or Wednesday or whatever day this is. No, it is a today. It is a day God has spoken to you. Now, you can't walk by faith without a rhema word. That's Romans chapter 10 makes that very clear. So every rhema word you get, every promise God gives you is very, very important. So he says, today, when he speaks, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. The rest of God is connected to his word that he speaks to your heart. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Joy is strength. And joy comes in the word. If you're receiving a word from God, in that word is joy. And in joy is strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. See, we're talking about rest, and we're talking about refreshing. We're talking about being able to continue on through life and through ministry in a position of strength and power instead of a position of weakness and tiredness and just trying to find your weekend. You know, it's kind of like those commercials they put on TV. I don't know if they are everywhere, but we had him here for a while, and it was for a sporting goods store named G.I. Joe's, and they would say, seize the weekend, and you'd be amazed at how many people don't like their jobs, don't like what they're doing, and can't wait to get out of there on Friday at 5 o'clock so they can seize the weekend and be free and relax and enjoy life until Sunday night, Monday morning, and then they got to go back to work. You, my friend, should not be in that condition or in that state. While we do need to take some days off, we do need to have time for our families, time for ourselves, and that we shouldn't be running from the call God has on our life. We should be enjoying the call, enjoying what it is that God has for us to do. Overall, I know there are some unpleasant things you have to deal with from time to time, but we shouldn't be of this mindset that I'm just trying to get out of this. And I've seen pastors in that position. What's the problem? The problem is, they are not walking and living in the rest of God. God has rest for you. And that's what he's talking about here. And then he says in verse number 12, take heed, brethren, we're in Hebrews chapter 3. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. An evil heart of unbelief. Now, God calls unbelief evil. Now, what is unbelief? Unbelief is a choice not to believe or act upon the word God has given you. See, doubt is when you just don't know. And there's a spirit of doubt. And sometimes that spirit of doubt will try to work on you. And you need to speak to it directly and tell it to go. I remember the day that God showed me that I could do that because I was having a doubt plaguing me, and I said, you spirit of doubt, you go from me now in Jesus' name. And amazing how much clarity came. I thought, wow, you can do that. Nobody taught me. They should have. So doubt is when you just don't know. But if God has spoken a rhema word to your heart, you do know, because he just told you. Now, once God has spoken to you, you have a choice. And your choice is either believe or unbelieve. Unbelief means you made a choice not to believe and act on what it is God told you. Wow. Don't go there. Don't go there. God does not tell you something flippantly or lightly. What God tells you is his will and his word and his way. And if he tells you something that's bigger than you can comprehend, just understand the fact that he has given you a word means it's possible if you'll follow him. Sometimes we call it a prophetic word. Well, let me tell you something. A prophetic word does not come to excite you, although sometimes people get excited about prophetic words. The point of the prophetic word or the rhema word is not for excitement. The point is for preparation. The point is that whatever God has promised, whatever God has said, is someplace you need to go. And to get there, you got to prepare. Because see, if you were already prepared and you were already at that, we'll say a maturity level or the level to walk in that, it would already be happening. The reason it's not happening is because you are not ready yet. And God brings a prophetic word, a rhema word, to let us know what is possible, where we can go to, so that we won't quit in the process. You need to understand there's a reason for the process. And everything God does with us is connected to a process, one kind of process or another. So often I see Christians in our day, and pastors and leaders, that want everything instant. Oh, we love miracles. Oh, we love something we love something suddenly happening. But let me let you in on a little secret. Nothing just suddenly happens. Oh, but wait a minute. Doesn't it say they were in the upper room and suddenly there was a sound of rushing mighty wind? Yeah, that is what it says. But you note that if nobody got in the upper room, nothing would have happened. And you also have to note that there was 500 people that were told to go to the upper room when they saw Jesus go up. On the day of Pentecost, there was only 120. Where's the rest of them? They weren't there. They weren't there for the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They missed it. Why? Because they didn't stay with the preparation. However long that period was, days or weeks or whatever it was, Bible doesn't say. But the 120 had to stick with it for a while. They had to prepare. Ah, there was a process. And I tell people, I say, before a miracle, there's always an instruction or instructions. Always. Read your Bible. Follow it through. Every time you see something miraculous, something suddenly, you find out that there's more to it than just that moment that something happened. Somebody went through the process to prepare, to receive, to step into whatever it was. Praise God. That's good stuff right there. Okay, so he says here in verse number 12, he says, be careful that you don't allow that unbelief that God calls an evil heart or bad heart of unbelief. God expects, when he gives you a rhema word, God expects you to believe it. Now remember, belief is always a choice. It's always a choice. When I hear someone say, oh, I can't believe that. Sure you can. You just choose not to. And if you choose not to, it's called unbelief. Once you have the truth, once you have what God has said today, if you will hear his voice. So he says, if you choose to not believe, you are departing from the living God. Well, doesn't mean necessarily that you lost your salvation right there, but you're departing from the word of God, the will of God, the way of God, what God has planned for you. You're saying no, and you're going to go another way. You are beginning to go off course. Don't do that. Don't do that. All right, but then he says in verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. That's what I'm doing here today. I'm exhorting you. I'm telling you, when God speaks to you, go with it. Believe what he said. Believe what he said. Because in every rhema word that God gives you, inside that word is the power necessary to bring it to pass. If it looks impossible to you, and most all the rhema words I've ever gotten look like, whoa, yeah. Know that the power of God's behind it. God just doesn't give something to us and then say, you're on your own to do this. No, his power's there. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you should be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin, missing the mark. The word sin means to miss the mark and so not to share in the prize. You can be deceived by missing the mark and thinking, oh, I'm okay. I'm okay. Yeah, I didn't choose to believe what God said, but I'm okay. You, brother or sister, are deceived then. That missing the mark, that choosing to not believe what God said, is leading you in the wrong direction. It says, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. The beginning of our confidence is when God spoke the word to us and we believed it and received it. The end is when we get the manifestation. Now, I've seen this process and I've seen God work. I've seen where between the rhema word and the manifestation, I've seen it happen in a few minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour. I've also seen some things that took 30 years and 35 years, some things more. But the thing is this, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast, stable, unto the end, that's what he says. While it is said, verse 15, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. What did those people do out there in the wilderness? The children of Israel, what did they do? They decided they were not going to believe what God said. And they hardened their hearts. This is what unbelief will do. If you make the choice to not believe what God told you, it will begin to harden your heart. And let me tell you something. People with hardened hearts don't hear from God. It isn't that God isn't speaking. They have hardness of hearing. You've heard of hardened arteries? Well, this is hardness of hearing in the realm of the spirit. Doesn't mean you can't hear physically. It means you can't hear spiritually because you've got a hard heart. Verse 16, for some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. Yeah, there was Joshua and Caleb. They said, let us go in and take the land. The other 8 preachers or 10 preachers, that's right, they sent in 12. Joshua and Caleb were those. Then there was 10 preachers that came back with unbelief and said, oh, no, it's too hard. We can't do this. Oh, this is terrible, bad. problem is everybody listened to the 10. And none of them got into the promised land. None of them got into the rest of God, except Joshua and Caleb.
Huh.
But whom, with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Verse 18. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. They chose not to believe what God said. He's telling us this so we don't make this same mistake. There is a rest for the people of God. There is a rest for you, pastor. There's a rest for you, leader. You can do what God has called you to do, and you can do it in the position of rest. Chapter 4, verse number 1. Let us therefore fear. Now, fear doesn't mean be afraid. It means awesome respect. Lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. When God gives you a promise, he wants you and expects you to believe him and begin moving towards that to enter into what he promised you. For unto us, verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. How do you mix a word that God gives you with faith? It's simple. You choose to believe. Now remember, the word believe in the New Testament is not as, what do I say, impotent as the word believe as we use out in our culture today. Oh, I believe that, I believe that. The word believe gets tossed around all the time. But the word believe in the word means you make a choice, and you're going to walk in faith on that choice, on that word. I choose to believe what God said. Therefore, it is mine. I receive it. I believe it. I receive it. It's mine from this point forward. Now, faith is from point A, believing, and you receive it. And point B, the answer walking through the door, the manifestation. Regardless of what that length of time is there, that's the area of faith. Now, once you have a manifestation, once you got the healing, once you got the finances or whatever it is, you don't need faith for that anymore. Now you move on to the next thing. That's why the Bible talks about going from faith to faith. We're supposed to be constantly growing and moving and living by faith, which means God is going to be constantly giving you words, giving you rhema, giving you that which you can choose to believe. Praise God. It's an exciting life. It's a good life. It's a great way to live. And guess what? When you live this way, you live in the rest of God. The rest. I don't have to struggle. I don't have to fight. Now, there's stuff I have to deal with on the outside, but on the inside, the rest is the rest of faith, believing his word. God is faithful who promised. So it says, we got to mix faith with what God says to us. We got to choose. Well, you got to choose. You're going to choose one way or the other. You're either going to choose to believe God and walk by faith, or you're going to choose not to believe God, which he calls unbelief, and God also calls it evil, bad. Verse 3 of Hebrews 4. For we which have believed, which means to have faith, do enter into rest, as he said. As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. See, when you enter into walking by faith, you understand what this verse says. The works were finished from the foundation of the world. If God has promised me something financial, maybe I have a financial need, and God has given me a word that I'm above and not beneath. I'm the head, not the tail. That I have all my needs are met. And I got that word alive inside of me. Guess what? That work was finished from the foundations of the world. It's already a done deal. Somebody says, well, but I don't see it. It's not here in the natural. Yeah, it's because it's going to take faith to bring it. That which is already completed in the realm of the spirit, it takes faith to grab onto that and cause it to come and manifest in the natural. Now, the location of what is finished does not change the fact that it's finished. Whether it is in the realm of the spirit, and I'm walking by faith to bring it in, or whether it is already manifested here and I've got it, it's finished either way. That's the thing of walking by faith. You're believing what God said is finished, and faith is forcing that to come and manifest in the natural realm. Hallelujah. I done preached myself happy. Glory to God. Okay, so it's a done deal. Once God gives you a rhema word, a revelation word, a prophetic word, whatever you want to call it, once he speaks it to you, you hear it in your heart, that lets you know this is a done deal. You just need to walk in it. Hallelujah. For he spake, verse 4, in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. See, when God got done on the seventh day, it was all done. It was done. And it says God rested. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to live in the rest of God, confident in him and what he has done. It's a rest. I've seen people over the years, people, they're struggling, they're fighting, I'm in the fight of faith. Wait. Hold it. I understand we're supposed to fight the good fight of faith. The fact that we're supposed to fight the good fight of faith does not mean we're supposed to get tired in the fight of faith. I'm going to keep speaking what God said. I'm going to keep speaking the answer. I'm going to keep speaking the finished work of God. But I don't have to get tired in the process of doing it. I don't have to, oh, man, this is so hard. I don't know if I can keep it up. Oh, wait. You're not fighting the fight of faith. You're doing something else there. Because when you fight the fight of faith, you're in the rest of God. Praise God. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remained that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Talking about children of Israel in the wilderness. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. God's speaking to you. Today, if you will hear his voice. Today. It's always today whenever God speaks to you. For if Jesus, which is Joshua, if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not have afterward spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. That's good stuff right there. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. See, the labor here is dealing with whatever is hindering you from walking by faith. Dealing with whatever thoughts, whatever concepts, whatever things you've heard or been taught or whatever, that's going to go against you walking by faith and believing and receiving what God says is finished. For he that has entered into his rest, he has ceased from his own works. I'm not going to make this happen. You know, God told us to build an aircraft hangar. I'm a pilot. And he didn't tell me to pay for it. He told me to believe for it, and he'd pay for it. And we're walking through that process right now, and God is paying for it. Hallelujah. God is faithful. I don't have to work it up and, okay, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? No, I'm not doing this. This is a word from God. So I am going to rest in him, and I'm going to stay in the rest. I'm going to thank him. I say, thank you, Lord, every day, usually many times a day. Thank you, Lord. The hangar's paid for. It's done. It's completed. Done deal. Thank you, Lord. Done deal. It's done, and we have abundance left over. Thank you, Lord. Now, what am I doing? I'm walking and living in the rest. I don't have to make it happen. I need to believe that he has finished it. And that finished product is moving towards us. Hallelujah. Step by step. Glory to God. And then it says this, and I'll end with this. Verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And the word heart there means soul, mind, or feelings. All right. Now, why is that verse? Now, that verse you probably have used, you've quoted, you've heard it, but why is that verse right there in the discussion of living and entering into the rest of God? It's because you need the word working in you to identify what things are a hindrance to you living and walking in the rest of God. Because the word will expose those things. See, this is part of the process that I was talking about. The word is going to expose this attitude or this concept or this habit. And then once the word exposes it, we need to cut that off. Get rid of it. It's not helping you. It's hindering you. Get rid of it. Whatever it is, dump it. Get it out of your life. Why? Because anything that takes me out of the rest of God is not from God. And a lot of times we have stuff in our lives that we've gotten ourselves involved in and we think we have an obligation and everything. Wait. This is where you need the word to come and expose those things. Hallelujah. Well, I'm out of time. I pray that I've helped you, challenged you to walk and live in the rest of God. It's available for you. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to have to go. I'm going to be back next week with more of Shepherd Staff. I encourage you to go to our website, wolife.org, and you can go to the live stream button, pull that down, and there's an archive. All of our services for the last year are available there. Or you can go to the free resources tab, press that one. It will give you links to Shepherd Staff on video, but it's also on podcast. You can find it on iTunes and Spotify and all the rest of them. And it's also on Rumble. And then there's also the School of Faith. That's 2 years worth of preaching and teaching just on the subject of faith. Boy, do you need that. I'm telling you right now, you need to go. Start with year one. They're labeled 1-1, 1-2. That's year one. If you see one that says 2-, that's second year. Now, you can pick it up anywhere, but I encourage you to start at the beginning because each session builds on the previous one. And then there's all the audios that are available for free. They're there to bless you, to help you. Just keep feeding the word of God in. Keep feeding it in. You're going to find it strengthens you and helps you. Well, till next week, we're going to be back with more Shepherd Staff. Until then, I call you blessed. We'll see you next time.